Hey, everybody. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Forest City North Church. We're a church in London, Ontario. And our hope is that this message that you're listening to will have an impact on your life. I encourage you to grab a coffee, make yourself a tea, sit back, and enjoy this message.
So there are a few lines in that song that actually move me. They actually move me in a way like some other songs just don't. And I'm not one who moves easily. If you know me well, I don't move easily. But when I move, I move. And it doesn't matter how many times I've heard that song. There are a few lines that stick out to me every single time. It's the lines that say, "Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave." And then it kicks up a notch, and the heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. And those words, every single time, I can hear it 1,000 times, I can hear it once, and I'm moved when I hear those lines because of the truth of them. Because what they have done for not only me, but this universe. And on this side of Easter, it is a lovely thing to sing. I mean, just to feel them, to sing them, to know that they are true. And it's easy to sing them because they are true. In fact, it's easy to actually feel inspired by these words. But believe it or not, there were about 2 days in the course of human history where I don't think anybody could have sung those words. There was this span of 2 days where nobody knew those words were even true. And I don't often think about that one. I don't always like to think about that one, or I forget to. But I believe that there were 2 days where the heavens were not roaring. I believe there were 2 days where it seemed that death had won. I think there were 2 days where that tomb was filled. And it's a strange thought, isn't it? Now, we don't always think about it. I mean, we're pretty good at thinking about Christmas. We're pretty good at skipping to Easter and then bouncing right back to Christmas. And Good Friday is kind of this thing that, you know, just gets us to Easter. It's weird how that happens. You know, Christmas, Easter, Christmas. Oh, yeah, somewhere in there we're supposed to go to church on Friday. Not a fan of that day. But I want to think about Good Friday for a minute. Since we're not hosting a service here this year, please go to another service at a different church in this city or out of town, wherever you might be going. But I want to take this moment here this evening to reflect on Good Friday, what it means for each and every single one of us. And then we're going to celebrate communion and how that connects with Good Friday and gets us ready for Easter. And I just want to remind everybody, Easter Sunday here, April 1st, 9:30 and 11, come on back. We want this place packed out because it is a good, good day. But to get there, we got to go through Good Friday first. And so what I want to do is I want to take a minute to actually just read the kind of the Good Friday story, what happened, what transpired, and I want you to sit and rest in it and think what it might have been like to be in that position, to sit there and see Jesus hanging on the cross. And so I want to read this for you, and I want to just paint the picture of what is going on. And it says this, it says, "It was now about noon." Okay, so we're talking like heat of the day. And it was about noon. But it says that darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. Can you imagine what it was like to stand there at noon? It's supposed to be the brightest time of the day, and darkness has come in for about 3 hours already. And it says, "For the sun stopped shining." What was it like to have the sun stop shining? Can you imagine what that was like? And it says here, and this is one of the lines from the song, "And the curtain of the temple was torn in two." And it says, "Jesus called out with a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' When he had said this, he breathed his last." Can you imagine? And so the scene is set with Jesus hanging on a cross, and there are Roman guards, Roman military infantry standing around. It says there's one of them, the centurion, who saw what happened, and he praised God and said, "Surely this man who hung here was a righteous man. There's something different about him. He's not a criminal like everybody else that we hung here." And it says that when all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and they went away. But then there were these people that knew Jesus, that actually knew him face to face. And it says they knew him, and it said, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, they stood at a distance watching these things. And there they stood. There they stood with Jesus dead on the cross. They watched. They cried. And I think hope just fled out of sight. It faded into the noonday darkness. And I wonder, when was the last time you felt hopeless like that? What caused you to feel that way? Can you think about the space, the place, the people? What was going on where you stood there and you said, I don't know what hope is like. I just don't know what it's like anymore. What situation turned so far south that you couldn't even find true north? What was it? Can you feel it? Can you put it into words just like this scene with Jesus on the cross? What was that rock bottom moment for you? And now amplify that by like 10. Amplify that 1,000-fold. And I think that's kind of what it was like on that day. I think that's what it was like. To stand there and just think there's nothing that's going to bring them back. And this is what happened as the story moves forward. You see, they took Jesus down off the cross, but they had to pry the spikes out of his hands and out of his feet, and they wrapped him up, this beaten, broken, bloody body, and they had to carry it to a tomb. They wanted to give it a proper burial. They wanted to give him a proper burial. And so they filed in this procession down towards it, as the story relates. And it says they put him in the tomb, and it says the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee, those same ones standing on the hill at a distance, it says they came from Galilee, they followed Joseph, the man who owned the tomb, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. And then it says, then they went home. They just went home. Hope laid in the tomb. Hope turned into hopelessness. The people who loved Jesus most watched his broken, beaten, bloodied body locked away for forever. And I wonder what it was like. I think it was a moment of complete, what now? What now? And you remember just a minute ago I asked you, when was the last time you felt that hopeless? What was it that did it? I mean, I can tell you times in my life where I felt that hopelessness. I mean, I can remember carrying my grandmother's casket to the grave and setting it there. I was thinking, what now? What now? I spent 3 years at seminary where you would think life would come oozing out of you. You're in the highest institution of academics to study God, and instead my spirit was crushed, and I am still recovering to this day. And you wonder, what now? I mean, what now? What is it for you? What is that hopeless moment that you don't know where the heck you are going or where the next ray of light is going to come from? I want you to hang on to that. And what I want you to do in just a minute is you're going to stand up and you're going to come down and you're going to take communion. And I want you not to forget that thing. I want you to not forget that moment, the people, the things that occurred. What I want you to do is I want you to take them with you and I want you to lay them at the table. I want you to take them to these spots, and I want you to set them right next to that wafer and to that juice, which represents the broken body of Jesus and the shed blood of Jesus. And I want you, just like those women, take the hopelessness, take the crushed dreams, take the despair, and set it down right here. Because you see, Jesus endured that for you. This is why he went to that cross in the first place. And so what I want you to do is we're going to do this in an orderly fashion. We're going to stand up, you're going to move to your left, my right, and you're going to funnel down this aisle here, and we're going to have a couple of ushers here just directing you to the open tables. But make that walk. Make that walk. Don't be afraid of what you are experiencing. Don't be afraid of what you are feeling. Take it and lay it down right here. This is what Good Friday is all about. This is what communion is all about. It's resting in the fact that there was a Jesus who came to this world, who hung on that cross to take all of the hopelessness, all of the despair, and all of the wrongness and bury it right there. And so I want to invite the ushers forward, and we're going to get up. We're going to celebrate communion. Go down to the front with people that you know, people you are here with. If you don't know somebody, team up with somebody. Okay? So I want to invite you all at this moment to stand, and then I'm going to come up and say a few more words, and we'll close out this service. But stand up and move down to the aisles here and come and take communion. I know it's a bit of a somber moment we just had. You maybe went to a place that you didn't want to go, that you didn't think you ever would go again. But there's a reason I had you do what you just did. See, because I think in order to get to the good news, you got to go through the bad news first. I have a friend who is a brilliant guy. I haven't spoken to him in a couple years now, but he wrote something through one of the darkest times in his life, where he lost a friend of the same name, born in the same year that they've grown up together. He said, listen, this was utter hopelessness. But then he wrote something, and I could not help but take it and share it with you tonight, where he said, listen, in the face of deep pain and immense loss, there are no easy answers. And you know this to be true, where there is nothing simple about what you feel, what you experience, the reality of that hurt. He said, listen, the suffering is real. The hurt is deep. He said, there are no platitudes or cliches to make it all go away as much as we might like to. He said, yet, through the scriptures, it becomes clear, as if there were any doubt whatsoever, that God's place in this world is among the broken and the dispossessed, the captured and the conquered. Indeed, hope is to be found among the vulnerable and the wounded. He said, in light of the crucified God, we find a gospel grim enough and dark enough to speak a truthful and authentic hope to our broken world. That as we go out into the darkness, living in Good Friday and the Saturday that follows, we go into that darkness with the reality of our own pain and despair ever present, and yet by the grace of God, the love of Christ Jesus, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, we might be able to say, if even in just a whisper, this is not the end. And my friends, as we hang in that moment between Good Friday and that holiest of Sundays when the tomb is empty, we don't need to wonder or whisper if this is the end or if we will ever get out of it. Why? Because we know for a fact that this is not the end. Whatever hopes or dreams that were crushed that you laid right here, remember that those are buried in that tomb, not to come out. The only thing that came out on Easter was a living and holy God. And this is what communion is all about. It's about that God who was broken, who was beaten, and who was bloodied, but he did it with a purpose. It was to come out living once more, not just for you, not just for me, but for all of us and this entire creation. So may this day, May 25th, 2018, be a day where you mark that calendar and you know for a fact, whatever you are experiencing, whatever hurt, whatever suffering, whatever loss it is, that Jesus loves you, that he sees you, that he knows you, that he died for you, but he rose for you. And so in the week ahead, I want you to live into that. Prepare your hearts, take the pain, take the hurt, whatever it is. Remember that it's laid at this table. And remember that Jesus loves you and that he rose for you. And be here Sunday, April 1st, 9:30 or 11, and sing your heart out and live into the message that he is not here, he is risen. Amen and amen. Listen to this song.